All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Well, good evening. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. This is episode 36. Today's date is January the 5th, 2022. Tomorrow, January 6th, is the anniversary of the false flag coup d'etat, siege operation, insurrection, whatever these idiots want to call it, that happened at the Capitol. And we're going to have a special for that tomorrow. Just a quick note of reference. I was on duty that day in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I was watching that live as it was all going down. And the guys on my team and the guys that we work with across the country were talking amongst ourselves. And we were watching this entire event unfold. And we were waiting for the orders to either get on a plane and head to D.C. or to load up our trucks and start heading to D.C. It never happened. Luckily, nothing ever went as bad as all these politicians want to say. But there were still some interesting things that happened that day that many people don't know about. And I'm going to speak extensively on it, on my firsthand knowledge of what I knew was going on during that time. And then some other things that we found out, along with the real atrocity, which is the politicians weaponizing a false flag event and then using it against their own political dissidents, which would be us in MAGA country, and I think you're going to find that to be a very entertaining podcast tomorrow. But for right now, I have something I originally wanted to talk about, and I'm still going to. A good friend of mine, AJ, sent this to me. And it's going back to episode 35 that we did yesterday, where we talked about gun bans and events that happened in the 1960s and the 1970s. With black Americans who were being harassed by corrupt police and by the Ku Klux Klan down in Louisiana. And we're still going to go over that. And it's an NRA article. It's a fantastic read. But another thing popped up, as usual, and we have to shift gears. So before we get into the original discussion, I want to talk about why it is that we start to hear now that FEMA is going to be hosting a seminar for a response to a nuclear attack on January 6th. Now, I did some digging. I found some interesting things. One report from The Hill is the Federal Emergency Management Agency is updating emergency management plans to include plans for potential nuclear detonations in 60 U.S. cities. An agency told BuzzFeed News that, or an agency official told BuzzFeed News that the agency is shifting plans away from the likelihood of a terrorist detonating a small nuclear device and toward the possibility of a state actor detonating a military-grade nuclear weapon. Here's the quote. "We are looking at 100 kiloton to 1,000 kiloton detonations," says FEMA Chemical and Nuclear Branch Chief Luis Garcia. Experts told the website that the shift in policy was related to concerns over North Korea's nuclear weapons program, which some experts say has continued to develop despite President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signing an agreement to work towards denuclearization. All right, so I'm going to stop right there before we start getting into propaganda. Here's what I know about this. We in the government have plans for about every type of attack that there is. And there's a big, huge playbook on how to stage and rehearse these attacks so that between local, state, and federal task force can come together and they can brainstorm through multiple different levels of hierarchy. And a lot of it really has to do with intelligence gathering, communications. There's another part of coordinating logistical stuff for first responders and second responders, which would be your fire, your EMS, and then we have to reallocate resources for hospitals. And when a nuclear device goes off, you have three different layers. We're going to have a hot zone, we're going to have a warm zone, and a cold zone. And that's going to be our standoff for where we're going to lock down an area and where we're going to start to have different stations for people to go in and out of. For example, within the hot zone, and I don't have anything in front of me right now, so sorry if I'm butchering this. But within the hot zone, that is going to be the area where the device detonated at, and that is going to be the place that's going to be the most radioactive. So that's going to be the most dangerous place, probably still on fire or stuff melting. And you're probably also going to have the most destruction to buildings and the most destruction to life within that warm zone. And, you know, I'm not going to give you a hypothetical of how big it could be. It could be as big as, you know, we say the warm zone is. And that really is going to matter, I guess you could say, what was around the device when it exploded. If it was in a major metropolitan area, well, you got to understand that you have natural gas pipelines that run in and out. You'll probably also have a subway system that'll be impacted. You'll probably have untold amount of structural damage, to include probably anything within, I would dare say, I don't know, a couple hundred yards easily, will be leveled, be dust. And beyond that, you'll also have that shock wave that's going to go out, and that's going to cause all different types of damage, minor damage, you know, all the way out to probably 100 miles. And you're going to have, you know, all different types of laceration and puncture wounds from glass and from other pieces of debris that could be lifted off the ground and then thrown as a projectile. And that's within the hot zone. Within that hot zone is where you would have guys like me and partners of mine who will be in the full nuclear biological suits, and we'll be going in and out, either conducting search and reconnaissance for people or, you know, whatever else the government needs us to do. And we'll, in between that hot zone, you're going to have the warm zone. The warm zone is going to be a staging area for law enforcement, most likely, and other first responders. And that's where we'll also probably be having some of our decontamination sites. And then beyond that, you'll have the cold zone. And that's where we'll have fire EMS. That's where we'll also have the media to be staged. And that's going to be the least impacted area away from the radiated area. And, you know, during all this time, you're going to also have radiological dust and material floating in the air and falling down on everything. So it's truly a catastrophic event when you consider it, because when that device goes off, especially a device the size that they're talking about, it's ruined. Like, I mean, it's Iwo Jima. It's going to be Black Earth. It's going to be like Nagasaki all over again. And I would have to tell you that that is probably one of the worst case scenarios that we could have. I just find it interesting that all of a sudden, for 20 plus years, we had the mindset that there was going to be a radicalized Islamic group that's a terrorist group affiliated with the Taliban or with ISIS now, or it'll be affiliated with Al-Qaeda back then. And they're going to some way, somehow sneak a dirty bomb, suitcase nuke, into a major metropolitan city, and then they're going to detonate the device. Well, there were other ways for these terrorist organizations to do something like that. Another one of these packages was also a biological attack There was a video that I was aware of many, many years ago of, I believe it was one of the head guys from Iran who was saying that we will have a martyr go to Mexico, and in Mexico, he'll pick up the device, which will be a suitcase bomb, and then we will smuggle him through the tunnels in Texas, let's say into El Paso, and then detonate a device that will release, you know, whatever they say they want to release, like anthrax, and kill 300,000 people in one day. Inshallah. Well, that apparently has changed. And I think there's a reason why, and I'm going to get more into this article. I have a few other articles, but I want you to know from my perspective why this is happening. I believe why this is happening is because we have a government now that is very similar to a government that we had previously with the Obama administration, who makes anybody out to be conservative or white or Christian, or God forbid, if you're black and a conservative and a Christian and you also like the Second Amendment, if you are against anything these socialist, communist, New World Order elitists want, then you're going to be on the soon-to-be target list, the victim list, or what Steve Quayle says, the red, the blue, and the green list. Quick shout-out. Eventually, I will have Mr. Quayle on to this show, and he is a living thesaurus when it comes to this type of knowledge, and I'll let him break a lot of this down with the red list, the green list, and the blue list. I think that'll blow your socks off. Anyways, I think the reason why this is coming out, and I mean, look at it, it's going to be on January 6th anniversary. You know, I worked for the government for well over a decade, and if they wanted to belay a date, if they wanted to change, rearrange, move the date, make it, you know, prior to or way after, or just cancel it because of whatever reasons, the government does that all the time. So why on the anniversary of January 6th is FEMA going to host a seminar for response to nuclear attack? You know, what this smacks to me of is a little bit of hubris, but I recall with the Grid X drill, when Obama had the Grid X drill done on the West Coast, that's Grid X drills 1 and 2 that we have talked about previously in these episodes, he also invited the Chinese over to watch us see how we lose our grid. Now, I'm going to read this a little bit, and I want you to just take it with a grain of salt, and I want you to jog back into your memory that Doug keeps telling you to prepare, prepare, prepare. Prepare for anything. I have told you through false flag operations that were documented from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Doug, try not to swear, that these people will do unspeakable things to put we the public in their pocket, to make us take our eyes off of whatever it is that is politically harming them or whatever machinations are going on right now. There's obviously a plan to pit the federal government and state government and local policing against conservatives. And the politicians have told you time and time again, we conservatives are the real enemy. And if you don't know that you're a conservative yet, I'll say it to you like this. Do you like the Declaration of Independence? Do you like the Constitution? Do you like the Bill of Rights? Do you like to own a gun? Do you like freedom of speech? Congratulations. If you just like those materials, you're on the DHS watch list. That should be almost 90% of America. Why is it that we have politicians who view us to be, we the people, the main threat or the source of the main threat to the federal government? Because we now have a federal government who thinks it is we the people, or that we the people serve the government and not the other way around. I've said this time and time again, these politicians think that they are lords of the manor and we are the serfs who serve them. We plow their fields and we guard their towers. That is not the way it goes. And they need to be shown it is not the way it goes. And January 6th scared the hell out of a bunch of people who are elitist, who want to legislate your freedoms away, and they can never allow you to do that again. They can never allow you, whether you like the man or not, they can never allow you to have someone like Donald Trump run again. You think they're going to let Ron DeSantis, who's, I would say, better than Donald Trump? Do you think they're going to let Ron DeSantis run? They're not going to let that man be a president. They'd kill him. Because Ron DeSantis, or someone like him, even President Trump again, would have to go as hardcore as possible against the deep state that's in the government to push legislation that puts the power of the government back in we the people's hands and strips it from the elite. The elite will not allow that to happen. They are in a power grab right now. That's what COVID was about. Now, I don't care if you took the shot. I don't care if you wore the mask. We all had to wear the damn mask at one point. But what it was about was capitulation. How easily will Americans lie down and let me harass you? How easily will Americans lie down and let me lie to you? Let me deceive you? Let me steal away your rights? Let me take away your dreams? Like an NYPD, let me snuff out the candles of that birthday cake, little boy. You don't have your COVID passport. We are quickly going to look like other nations in the United Kingdom and so on, who also had the COVID pass. Mark my words. By 2024, we will have a COVID vaccine passport nationwide. The federal government will supersede states' rights, if they have to, through whatever means possible, to subjugate its citizens. We are too unruly. We are not easily ruled. We all come from the descendants of men and women who refuse to be ruled by a small power of elites. That is what I continuously talk about when I say America needs to go back to the wilderness. We need to find a new frontier. That new frontier is called freedom. It's not freedom from Twitter. It's not freedom from Facebook. It's not freedom from your churches who refuse to talk about sin. It's not freedom from politicians who want to completely annihilate your rights. It's the freedoms that we will willfully die for that the elite want to utterly destroy. And that freedom does not stop at the shores and the boundaries of the United States. It's worldwide. It's worldwide. That's why we had a worldwide movement against all these different New World Order style regimes that have spread themselves across the globe like a damn plague. It's a cancer. The real plague wasn't COVID-19. The real plague was the political elite. And COVID-19 helped to expose it. But what did you do? You went along with the plan. And me too. We all went along with the plan. There was only so much that you could protest. There was only so much that you could skip out on before eventually you had to go back to the cookie jar. You had to go back into the closet and grab you another mac and cheese. And what happened when you ran out? You had to go to the big box stores because mom and pop stores were shut down. COVID-19 and the elites of the politicians, they killed small industry. They killed small business. Now if you want something, you go to them. That's the same type of stuff the cartel does. That is ruling as an elitist. And that is what they did to us in 2020. And they did it across the entire world. The freest place in the world is the one place, for whatever reason, you're not allowed to go to. And that's the South Pole. I do, however, recommend all liberals, please, take a charter cruise to the South Pole and invade it. Maybe your utopia is there, in the iceberg. Who knows? We're going to go to a break. I'm mad as hell right now. And I'll see you right after.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
And we're back. Welcome to American Vindicta. A quick note, if you ever hear a baby screaming in the background or laughing extremely loudly in the background, those are my children. My studio is in my house in a spare room for right now until I eventually get my studio made. So I do apologize for any excessive noise, but, you know, that is the wonders of being a parent, and yeah, that's just what I got to deal with right now. It doesn't seem like there is enough insulation that I can put or sound dampening blankets that I could put around my house to not hear my one-year-old scream. So I do apologize for that. But anyways, let's continue. I am mad as hell, and I would like to tell you about it. We're going to quickly wrap this up about FEMA and their wanting to host a seminar for response to nuclear attack on January the 6th. And we're looking through an article from The Hill right now. And I'm just going to read to you real quick. I have another article here. And these articles that I'm pulling up, they compound upon each other. And then you're just going to hear me blurt out some nonsense. So anyways, let's get back to this. We are looking at 100 kiloton to 1,000 kiloton detonations, says FEMA Chemical and Nuclear Branch Chief Luis Garcia. Experts told the website that the shift in policy was related to concerns over North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Now, I'll say this. North Korea doesn't have a chance in hell in getting any of their nuclear weapons, intercontinental ballistic-wise, across the pond to hit us. They can easily wipe out anyone within 1,000 miles of them. But to get over to the United States, I don't know that their technology is really sophisticated enough for that. But if they're not sophisticated enough within their own technological means, China is. Russia is. Iran is. And in between all this, in between the Chinas and the Iran, you have a little-known group called ISIS that, along with the Taliban and other groups, in this no-man's land that is the Middle East, that will smuggle plans from unknown people to determined destinations within threat actors of other nations. And maybe they got the plans that way. Maybe they got materiel that way. I don't know. There's a lot of that, you know, State Department stuff. So, you know, it's sealed documents that we will not know about. And even if I had them, I wouldn't tell you about them. But I will say this. I look upon the concerns over North Korea and I just laugh. Kim Jong-un, just like Kim Jong-il, every 7 years or so, they come to the table of the world councils and they say, we're going to set fire to the world. We're going to use our nukes, our impressive nuclear capability of our Scud missiles from the 1960s. And you've seen them, you know, all 20 of them that the Army has. You know, they parade them every freaking, you know, 3 or 4 months. And with these dictators, man, they, unless they're being given technology or money from other entities, this failed hermit state, as corrupt and as evil as it is, they will not take over the world. Now, granted, if we tried to invade North Korea, oh my God, what a war that would be. They have so many artillery cannons, they would wipe South Korea off the map, and South Korea would, in a sense, also wipe North Korea off the map. But they have a failed economy. They have a failed military. Their military is a laugh. It is a laughing stock. Go on YouTube and look up North Korean military. Have yourself a great laugh. They get their same camouflage as you would from Hobby Lobby with decorations from fake plants. And I'm not joking. I saw a woman with a with like a 40-year-old helmet on, and she had like one vine of a fake ivy leaf that was hanging off her helmet. It's like, yeah, we're prepared to kill the Americans. And I just laughed so hard because I could probably arm the Boy Scouts and send them over, and they would do a very effective job against these people. That's not really the North Koreans' fault, because you don't have a choice in North Korea. You're either going to serve or you're going to die. And even if you do serve, you'll end up dying, probably through starvation, which is why the North Korean soldiers oftentimes are seen raiding the homes of their fellow citizens for rice. So, good job, North Korea. Anyways, let's get back to this. God, I'm really upset today. The shift toward planning for actions by state militaries was discussed this week at a 2-day workshop for public health and first responders at the National Academies of Science. The North Koreans have really changed the calculus, said Cham Dallas of the Institute for Disaster Management at the workshop, according to BuzzFeed. We really have to look at thermonuclear now. Other scenarios considered at the 2-day meeting included responses to possible cyber warfare attacks and electromagnetic pulse attacks. Wow. Look at that. On January 6th, we're going to discuss FEMA, the government, EMP, and grid down. Now, Doug did happen to read exhaustively for an entire week about grid down and the government's own writings on grid down and how much it's going to suck life if that happens to us. They can sit here and say FEMA's going to host this seminar over a nuclear attack and grid down and blah, blah, blah. We're still not prepared for a grid down. Still not prepared. But we're going to talk about it. We're not going to do anything about it, but hey, we'll talk about it. We'll all get together and we'll share some Dunkin' Donuts coffee and we'll laugh about how stupid everybody is for, you know, thinking that their votes matter. Meanwhile, we're just going to let the grid deteriorate. Meanwhile, we're not going to have an answer for the hypersonic missiles that Russia and China have. Meanwhile, we're going to say that the real threat to the country are conservatives, or Christians, or gun enthusiasts, or whatever they want to say now. These people make me so mad. Concerns over Russian cyber intrusions have grown in recent months after it was revealed that Russian hackers gained unprecedented access to the control rooms of U.S. power plants. Damn it, once again, there we go. The SCADA system. Do you recall when I told you about the SCADA system in nuclear power plants or that are also in chemical pipelines or these chemical plants or these natural gas plants that control pipelines? The SCADA system is so exhaustively overburdened that if the SCADA system in any of these facilities goes down, we are going to see catastrophic malfunctions. Catastrophic meaning explosions, loss of life, loss of power, maybe an indefinite amount of time. When it did happen in the UK, when they lost a huge pipeline from a power plant, it was 4 months. Imagine 4 months in any part of America when winter storms are hitting right now and you don't have power and you also don't have a wood-burning stove or a fireplace. How do you survive? What if you're like me and you're in the southern climates and your home really isn't built for that type of a winter storm? If you recall last year when the winter storm hit in Texas, just 1 week of not having power hurt. I mean, it killed a lot of people. But once again, thank you, ERCOT. We could have actually done something about that. But instead, because of, I don't know, politicians, we chose not to. And lives were lost. And all these damn politicians who say, oh, you know, we could have done something about it. I hope you were there for the eulogy for the people who died and said that too. See, these politicians don't care if you die. They don't care if you get hurt. They don't care if you starve. They don't care if you freeze. They have power. They have food. They have guns. They have armed security. They have the get out of Dodge plan that you and I don't have. They have, you know, Cheyenne Mountain and other underground facilities for when actual nuclear war happens. Where do the politicians go? They go underground. Where do you go? You go with God, I hope, because you're probably not going to get access to any of those underground facilities. Told you I was mad tonight. Here, listen to this quote. They got to the point where, and this is speaking about Russian cyber intrusion into power plants, they got to the point where they could have thrown switches, said Jonathan Homer, chief of industrial control system analysis for the Department of Homeland Security. Now, I want to credit my former agency of DHS and of CISA. There are a lot of good men and women out there who really are patriots doing their due diligence to try and protect America. And, you know, my hat's off to them. What we did is, you know, it's boring at times, but also it's a hard job because whenever there's any type of failure, it's on you and you're going to the red carpet to explain to Congress why it is that you failed. And trust me when I say all those people who are in charge of these agencies, they're going to be the ones going to Congress, but it's going to be your butt on the line. And it's going to be your butt who will be in trouble. So for all my former co-workers, cross your T's and dot your I's, because it looks like there's something in the midst for this whole nuclear war event or nuclear attack. Here, listen to this. Russian hackers also targeted the campaign of Senator Claire McCaskill of Montana, a vulnerable Democrat up for re-election in November. How funny. How funny. Another Democrat. Huh. Why didn't they go after Ron DeSantis? Why didn't they go after Ted Cruz? Why was it a Democrat? Why was it one of the people who are conspiring to take the guns away from Americans and who is also a globalist elitist? Why is it that the Democrats get targeted? Why is it also that the Democrats were part of the whole Russian hacking or the Russian interference that we saw with Trump for 4 years straight? Russiagate? Thank you, Democrats. Thank you for exposing yourselves, at least. Here, let's keep going. Russia continues to engage in cyber warfare against our democracy. McCaskill said in a statement last month, I will continue to speak out and press to hold them accountable. While this attack was not successful, it is outrageous that they think they can get away with this. I will not be intimidated. I've said it before, and I will say it again. Russian President Vladimir Putin is a thug and a bully. He's so much of a thug and a bully that Hillary Clinton sold yellow cake uranium to them. Huh. Real thug and a bully to the Democrats. Putin? No. No, Obama. Obama was a thug and a bully. Do you remember when Obama was waiting to be reelected and he got a hot mic and the interpreter for Vladimir Putin was sitting there with him? And Obama leaned over and said, "Hey, tell Vladimir, you know, just to wait up on me because after I get reelected, I'll have a lot more wiggle room with what I can do." We never got a real explanation on that. And that also, for all you sticklers out there, was not a direct quote of Obama, but I can pull it up for you. But that snake, oh man, that snake shed his skin on those lies so many times. Russia's the enemy. Russia's the bad guy. Same with Hillary Clinton. If I'm elected president, I'll knock Russian MiGs out of the sky of Syria. I remember when she was running for president the whole time, and even after we had to work one of our details, which, God, did that suck, I was just sitting there going, my God, please do not let this woman become president. We're going to go straight into World War. That's what she wanted. What's funny is the Democrats work hand in hand with Russian oligarchs. Russian oligarchs who also have a lot of political influence in Ukraine, like what you saw with President Biden and his son Hunter and all the Burisma garbage that happened in Ukraine. Oh, we never got any real, you know, explanation about that one, did we? See, these Democrats keep wanting to tell you that, look, there's the boogeyman. It's Putin. Look, there's the boogeyman. It's the MAGA country and the people wearing those racist MAGA hats and flying those racist American flags. We have people in power who praise communists and socialists and tell you, the patriot, that you are the enemy. Let me ask you something, America. How deep of the trouble have we really gotten into? Because that puddle is very dark, it is very murky, and they keep it that way so that you can never see just exactly what it is that they're up to. They always cloud that puddle with some sort of a false flag, or some sort of a race war, or some sort of a scare, or a pandemic, so you can never get to the bottom of the puddle to see what it is that they're really trying to do. Here, let's go to another article here on InfoWars. And yes, I do use InfoWars. My God, some of you people out there that I've spoken to who hate InfoWars, like Alex Jones or not, his company does their research better than almost anybody else. So here, I'm going to read this to you real quick. And then we're going to talk about why the nuclear threat is such a problem for the government right now. And here is this article. National engagement seminars for planning guidance for response to a nuclear detonation will provide an overview for considerations, planning factors, and available resources to craft a successful response plan for nuclear detonations. We'll provide updates on guidance for a wider range of nuclear detonations, including larger detonations and airburst. And that's from FEMA. Now, when they say airburst, they're talking EMP, okay? Now, you can go to FEMA and you can download the National Engagement Seminar for Planning Guidance for Response to a Nuclear Detonation and read it yourself. I strongly suggest that you download it and read it. The problem in America is that we trust what we are told by politicians. We trust what we are told by talking heads in mainstream media and even, you know, smaller affiliates that are out there, and also people who are on, you know, YouTube or podcasts, hell, guys like me. you trust us to tell you the truth and the points of the view that you should pay attention to. The problem is you don't understand a lot of times the entire context of the situation. So go to FEMA, download this article, and read it, and become aware of what the government is doing. It's your country. You need to know. So the webinar comes in tandem with its 241-page guidance on a hypothetical nuclear attack, planning guidance for response to a nuclear detonation, which describes various scenarios and consequences 24 to 72 hours after a nuclear attack. Quote, if a nuclear detonation occurred in an American city, it would be one of the most catastrophic incidents the United States has ever experienced. Responders must be prepared to address the unique challenges of a nuclear response. With careful planning, many, if not most, lives can be saved. Additionally, preparing and planning for nuclear detonations better equips your community for other natural and man-made hazard and disasters, such as fire spreads or hurricanes or earthquakes and radiological incidents. This document describes the considerations, planning factors, and available resources to craft a successful nuclear detonation response plan. Sounds like to me they're trying to craft a successful nuclear detonation in an unknown destination within America. The focus of this document is on the first 24 to 72 hours after a detonation when early actions can save many lives. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Many lives would be saved. Maybe their own, because they'll know where it'll be happening, I'm guessing. So we're going to skip over to something that, and I'm a, once again, if you don't know this, I'm a history nut. The U.S. military is missing 6 nuclear weapons. Can you help us find it? The longest missing nuclear weapon hasn't been seen in 71 years, and it is unlikely it will be found anytime soon. The 1996 John Woo film Broken Arrow features a quite memorable line uttered by character Frank Whaley. I don't know what's scarier, losing nuclear weapons or that it happens so often there's actually a term for it. In fact, the term broken arrow does refer to the loss of a nuclear weapon, and it has happened more than once. Oh my God. Between 1950 and 1980, there have been 32 documented nuclear weapon accidents that involved the unexpected accidental launching, firing, detonating, theft, or loss of the weapon. To date, 6 U.S. nuclear weapons have been lost and shockingly never recovered. Below you will find a breakdown of the situations that lead to this shocking statistic. Nationalinterest.org, that's the website. February 13th, 1950, the longest missing nuclear weapon hasn't been seen in 71 years and it's unlikely it will be found anytime soon. It was lost when the crew of the United States Air Force conveyor B-36 bomber was conducting a mock nuclear strike and was en route from Alsen Air Force Base in Alaska to Carlswell Air Force Base in Texas when it developed engine trouble. Not wanting to have to crash with the nuclear warhead, the crew was ordered to drop its 30-kiloton Mark IV Fat Man bomb into the Pacific Ocean. According to the official report, the bomb didn't contain the plutonium core necessary for nuclear detonation, but it still contained a substantial amount of uranium. So many curse words I want to say right now. March 10th, 1956. 6 years after losing the first bomb, 2 nuclear cores were lost when a B-47 bomber likely crashed in the Mediterranean Sea while en route from MacDill Air Force Base, Florida, to Ben Gurion Air Base in Morocco. The aircraft had successfully completed its first aerial refueling, but it failed to make contact with a tanker for a second refueling and was reported missing. The exact weapon wasn't disclosed, probably because it was live, but the B-47 typically carried the 3,400 kilogram Mark 15 nuclear bomb. No trace of the plane nor the core has ever been found. What do you want to bet someone found it, huh? February 5th, 1958, during a simulated combat mission near Savannah, Georgia, another Air Force B-47 bomber carrying a Mark 15 weapon collided with an F-86. After multiple attempts to land, the bomber crew was given the green light to jettison the bomb to reduce weight, and also to ensure it wouldn't explode during an emergency landing. The bomb, which was dropped over the Wausau Sound near the mouth of the Savannah River, was never recovered. January 24, 1961, somewhere near Goldsboro, North Carolina, a uranium core is likely buried in a field. It had been one of the cores for a pair of 24 megaton nuclear bombs that were on a B-52 that crashed shortly after takeoff. What is especially unsettling about this incident is that three of the four arming mechanisms on the bomb that was recovered had been activated. The second bomb's tail was discovered 20 feet below ground in the muddy field, and when efforts to find the core failed to uncover it, the military did the next best thing. The United States Army Corps of Engineers purchased a 400-foot circular easement over the buried components to restrict digging. December 5th, 1965. Somehow, an A-4E Skyhawk attack aircraft, loaded with a 1-megaton thermonuclear weapon, managed to roll off the deck of the USS Ticonderoga and fell into the Pacific Ocean. Somehow. God, if I was on that deck, I can just see the Navy chiefs saying that. I just remember when I used to yell at my young Marines when they lost their weapon or they lost their MVGs or night vision goggles or they misplaced, you know, some gear that was issued to them. And I remember we used to duct tape it to them or we would, you know, haze the living crap out of them for losing any type of article of gear because, you know, you need to keep, you know, good control of your gear. You don't just want to lose a frag grenade while you're out walking around. Have it properly secured in a pouch. But could you imagine standing there, the chief, and if any of you are listening right now, they're Navy chiefs, or you were in the Navy, you understand what I'm about to say. Could you imagine walking out onto the deck with your coffee, because chiefs always have coffee and a hand on a hip, and just going, oh, I wonder how the Skyhawk loaded with the nuke fell off, which seaman didn't properly secure the plane, because that's how it happened. Don't tell me somehow. That's how it happened. It wasn't properly secured. Anyways, the pilot, the plane, and the bomb quickly sank into 16,000 feet of water and were never seen again. However, it wasn't until 15 years later that the U.S. Navy even admitted the accident had taken place and noted it happened 500 miles from land. However, that wasn't true, as the carrier was about 80 miles from Japan's Ryukyu Island chain. And as a result of that accident, the Japanese government now prohibits the United States from bringing nuclear weapons into its territory. You know what happens when you go to a gun range and you have a negligent discharge? You get kicked off the range. You know what happens when you do that multiple times? They take the guns away from you, and rightly so. You don't want to Alec Baldwin somebody. But however, could you imagine being the most powerful military in the world and just to consistently keep losing the most destructive weapon ever created by man? But we conveniently lost another one. Anyways, I lost my train of thought. I'm just I laugh whenever I read these documents. Spring 1968, the final bomb to be lost and not recovered occurred sometime in the first half of 1968, and it involved the loss of the U.S. Navy's nuclear attack submarine, the USS Scorpion, which sank about 400 miles to the southwest of the Azores Island. In addition to the tragic loss of 99 crew members, the submarine was carrying a pair of nuclear-tipped weapons, which had yields of up to 250 kilotons. While this should be as scary as suggested, the good news is that in the past 50-plus years, no other nuclear weapons have been lost, at least that we know of. And I would like to say, at least that we know of. You know, why would they admit, why wouldn't they just, you know, bury it? They bury all these stories anyway, so, I mean, I don't believe a damn thing that I get told by these people. I want to talk about this article real quick, because I was on my soapbox for the last 52 minutes. When it talks about gun bans, when we talk about gun bans, and we talk about history and why banning guns is such a horrible idea, and how the Nazis did it. The Nazis specifically said that they could not allow these subjugated races to hold any type of weapons, because then they would be themselves a threat to their regime, or they could not subjugate them as confidently, because then they would be armed. That's why they took the arms away from the Jewish population. And it wasn't just the Jewish population, it was other populations. But I want you to do some research. The Deacons for Defense and Justice, which was founded in 1964 in Jonesboro, Louisiana. They were created to protect the civil rights activists from the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK, a democratic, fear-mongering, propaganda, murdering organization, who at one point in time was paraded around the White House by FDR, a Democrat and a socialist, and a friend of Adolf Hitler's. Adolf Hitler loved the KKK so much that he even actually took some of what they did in terms of, I guess you could say, fear and scaring the hell out of people, and used it for his own propaganda machines. Anyways, the organization was made up of black veterans from World War II, who believed in armed self-defense. Now, real quick, NRA, America's First Freedom, the Deacons for Justice by Dave Coppell, which was wrote in August 5th, 2015. It is an amazing read, and I'm going to go over it sometime this week. I don't have the time right now, but it really breaks down the ability for Americans, which is every person in America. That's every race, that's every sex, that's every religion. Your ability to protect yourself from tyranny, from crime, from mass murdering lunatics, and from would-be dictators. The most effective means of self-defense currently are guns. This article clearly defines how corrupt police were chaperoning the Ku Klux Klan through black neighborhoods and harassing them and dropping off racist flyers, trying to scare the black community. And, if it wasn't for these great American heroes, these great American patriots that stood up for the activism of Martin Luther King Jr., we may have a completely different America right now. And still to this day, the black community is still grossly affected by the Democrats, who hound upon them, who try to entrap them, who try to trick them, who try to tell them that these people over here are your real enemy, when from the very beginning, it was the Democrats. If you go way back in history, it was the Democrats. Who was it that killed Abraham Lincoln? A Democrat. And so on and so forth. The problem with America is we don't do our history. We are going to be doomed to repeat it if we don't learn from it. Tomorrow I will make the time to read this article. I think it is an amazing testament to the Second Amendment and to the rights of protection of all men who are created equal, at least in these United States. At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, we're probably going to see some crazy times in the future. The government obviously is telling us that they got some crazy stuff planned for us. Don't trust what these people say. Trust God. Trust your gut. You don't even have to trust me. But I'm telling you, you can trust history. History will always show you the ugly truth. You need to be prepared. You need to be prepared physically, spiritually, monetarily. You need to have food. You need to have water, the ability to sustain your family, to keep them alive, the ability to have communication with your other loved ones and your friends, forming alliances, because I'm telling you right now, the plan is to take America off the pecking order, to turn us into a third world nation, to turn you against your brother, to turn you against your neighbor. And they will not stop until they have ran you over. And when you're finally sitting there under their boot, they'll smile and tell you what a great American you are. That's all I got for you tonight. I'm Doug Thornton. This is American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.